Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Chris Bowen. Chris is a principal technology evangelist for Microsoft who focuses on Windows 8 and gaming. Chris has been here before. I'm really happy to have him again. How are you, Chris?
I'm well, Jesse. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, very happy to have you here. And am I right that saying that you're focusing on Windows 8 and gaming, that that's somewhat new?
Yeah, the gaming side. Well, I don't know if you know, but I've always been a gamer for as long as there have been games. It's been what I've enjoyed. But a little bit of clarification of what I do now. I mean, the Windows 8 side has been that way for a long time. And HTML5, of course. But I recently have been able to focus a lot more on the gaming industry, especially here in the Boston area. We have a lot of good, you know, community around game dev, from indie all the way up through AAA type development. So it's been a blast. It's really fun to work with companies and work with developers that have always kind of maybe worked through the day on, you know, whatever enterprise apps, but have always harbored that, you know, desire to be a game developer by night. And so any of those discussions I enjoy having.
Well, I know nothing about creating games with Windows 8. So maybe you could start me at the beginning and tell me how one even approaches creating a game on Windows 8.
Yeah, I think folks don't realize that they probably know more about it than they are giving themselves credit. You know, if you've put together a UI, you've done things either, you know, XAML, if you've done things with, you know, HTML5, JavaScript, there are definitely paths that have been well trod upon to get you to being a game developer. And that's really what's exciting. And so with Windows, you know, Windows 8, a lot of what I do is talking to developers to kind of just help clarify that. And so, you know, obviously a ton about the XAML side of things and how all of those technologies could really apply to a gaming type experience. We can dive into details on all that and on the HTML5 side as well, which is kind of where I've been focused a bit more of my time the past whatever number of years. But, you know, JavaScript, CSS, and HTML5. But whether it's, you know, C# or C++ with DirectX, you got a ton of options, especially when we're talking about Windows 8. So dive in wherever you'd like. If you want to hear a little bit more about just, I guess, the general, how do you get started with even thinking about becoming a game developer?
Sure, let's start there.
Yeah, first things first, you got to get out in the community. We're a little bit, we're very fortunate here in the New England area to have a really strong gaming industry, but definitely folks who check out, you know, local user groups for, we'll talk about a few tools as we go through and discuss this, but if there's a tool-focused group, you know, Unity comes to mind. You can seek out a user group in your area to kind of connect with others that know their way around and can help you out. But in many, many cases, there's also a local chapter of what's called the IGDA, the International Game Developer Association. We have one here, and I know there's a bunch throughout the country and actually the world, too, where you can meet up with other, you know, folks that are either in the industry or aspiring to be and just talk about, make those connections. And that's one of my strongest recommendations, is figure out who's doing what, learn from them, and you'll never stop doing that, of course. But before you dip your toe into any technology pool, connect with others first. And then the next thing is really looking at the technologies. So the first choice really is, what are you already comfortable with? So, you know, whether it's XAML, C#, VB, whatever, if you've already done some stuff with DirectX, great, you know, dive in, you can look at C++. And then JavaScript, of course, is being used a lot now to make games for the web. And now it's, of course, a new option for app developers to get games and apps in general into the Windows Store with JavaScript technology too. So a lot of good options there. But I guess the most important thing to point out is you can choose your own adventure. You could be as, you know, close to the metal as you would like to be. You want to write a ton of code. You want to do a lot of stuff essentially from scratch. You can do that, but you don't have to. I mentioned the fact that you're on a path that a lot of folks have already done. There's a lot of frameworks out there. There's a lot of libraries, and there's actually a lot of IDEs as well, you know, environments that you can use to help create games. And we can go over those. Obviously, we can't be a full tutorial on all of these, but there's a bunch that are out there that have already announced or already have support for creating Windows 8 applications for the Windows Store that are games. And so if you look at, I'll just name a few, but I've already mentioned Unity, one of the, you know, a very popular game development environment, gives you a full environment to create things visually. And then you can use script to tie it all together and make things happen, work with your animations, bring in your assets, create you know, cues for your sounds, things like this. But you can also use JavaScript or C Sharp or Boo as well to animate what's going on to really bring things to life through code.
What was that third one?
Boo.
Boo.
Yeah.
And Boo a ghost?
Boo a language. I frankly don't know too much about it. I just know it's one of the options for creating things with Unity. I tend to focus more on the JavaScript side for that, but pretty sure those are the three, and there may be some others that I don't know about, but pretty sure those are the options there for Unity. But
if you're going to build a game, I guess the first question is what kind of game? Is this going to be interactive? Is it going to be rich in graphics? Are all of the language choices independent of the type of game, or does the type of game help you choose which approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's no one easy way to answer that, but certainly they all have their specialties. And even within them, you have different approaches. So, DirectX gets a lot of attention, of course, for being the high-end option for really being able to eke out super performance, and especially in a 3D realm, if you're focusing on that kind of depth of rendering and experience, high frame per second kind of type games, that's a very common choice for, the more serious games, the more advanced type of game. But folks are just getting into things as well. You can absolutely choose between things that are already out there for XAML, HTML5, the framework that I mentioned. I started mentioning like Unity. There's other things like Game Maker, Game Salad, and Construct 2. These are all environments that you can purchase. I'm pretty sure they're all retail environments, but you can use those to create games and essentially help to minimize the amount of code you're writing yourself and doing things more visually with kind of a helping hand through the environment. There's also frameworks too that are more code oriented. Whether it's HTML or XAML, C#, there's a lot to choose from there too. From physics engines to animation libraries to gaming frameworks as well, like Impact. Or CreateJS, these are both JavaScript-oriented environments, or I should say libraries that will help you create games for those worlds. But I guess, long story short, whatever you're looking at, there are certain libraries for different kinds of things you might do in a game. So if you're looking for a 2D type puzzle game, you might use or prefer one framework over another, which is going to be more oriented toward a social media, a social type game, a connected experience. But the only way you'll know is really to do your homework. So I strongly, strongly recommend take a look what's out there. Like I said, connect up with the community and see what people are having success with. And just ask around. Say, I'm thinking of making the next great RPG role-playing game. And I know C#. What would you recommend? For example, like with XNA, if you know XNA, you've been doing C#. You might have heard that's not really an option on the Windows 8 for a Windows Store game. But what people have been turning to is something called MonoGame, which is an open source implementation of that whole XNA framework. And we've got a good number of games that are already in the store based on that. And it's a nice option for you if you want to carry those skills that you might have picked up from making an indie game on Xbox or something for the phone or a Windows game before as well with XNA. It's a good way to carry that forward as an option into the Windows Store. I know I'm throwing a lot of things out here, but there are a lot of choices. And if you want to zoom in onto one thing, I could take a little more time to explain it. But just trying to give you an overview of what some of the options might be.
No, it's terrific. I'm completely overwhelmed. I like it.
Sure. So, yeah, I would absolutely, like I said, just I mentioned some of the environments that you could use to create a game. Bring in your graphics, what are called assets, your sounds, your background music, things like that. There are environments for that can help you. But at a lower level with your code, there are libraries specifically for each of those things in many cases as well. So to be more concrete, let's say you want to do physics. I'm doing the next, throw things through the air and crash into things at the end of the screen type game, right? How do I do that? Do I write it all myself? Do I dust off the ancient tomes of geometry and stuff that I studied in school? Or has someone else kind of figured this out? And the answer is, yeah, there's a lot of libraries that you can look at, especially for physics. A lot of things that are derived from what are called, what's called Box2D. A lot of variants of that for different languages as well. So from C++ to JavaScript, etc. XAML, C# side has something called the Farseer physics engine. You can use these really to save yourself a ton of time. And especially if you're new to game development, you might find that these things are really as close to perfect as what you're going to need to, to just, you know, plug into place and not have to do a lot of custom coding to make it really fit your needs. So, I mean, I can't recommend it any more highly than I've already said it twice, I think now. Do your research before you write a line of code. Make sure you're looking at the libraries that are out there and take advantage of the ones that have, you know, that may be the best fit for you.
I think one way that we might be able to frame this and to work our way through this complexity would be to speculate on creating a relatively simple game and how you would advise me to go about beginning to create such a game.
Okay.
So where do you see as sort of the prototypical, the hello world of games? What is that? Is that a two-person game, a one-person game?
Yeah, oftentimes people will turn to Pong as an example, kind of a breakout type game. So that's as good as any, or there's a lot of, you know, hello world equivalents, but let's just go with that one for example, and just say you've got this idea for a breakout that has never been thought of in the history of gaming, and you want to make that into a game. How can we start? And the things to think about. We've already covered kind of look what's out there, but let's be specific. What are you going to need in the game? Well, I guess maybe we shouldn't even stipulate what kind of technology you're using. Let's just keep it generic. So you're going to need the things to show on the screen. You're going to need graphics. You're going to need some assets. And even more specific, let's say it's just 2D, because 2D is really where I would recommend you start, and then work your way up to 3D, because the math and the complexity and the requirements for what you will need to create a game really do grow significantly when you switch from 2 to 3D development. So 2D is a great place to start, and you're going to need the graphics. You're going to need maybe just simple bitmap textures for what your paddles will look like, what the ball will look like. If you're going to use bricks, what will that look like? Each of those will be what are referred to as textures, and they could be various formats that you might need. But the idea is you're going to define parts of the screen that essentially will be painted with those pictures and moved around so you can simulate that motion. So you'll need that. And that's only one part of the equation. We'll get to how you can do that in a second. Sound, of course, too. You're going to need some kind of sound effects. The ball hits the paddle, ball explodes a brick, things like that, bounces off the side of the screen. We'll need some assets for that, some sound for those. And then some background music, too, if you want to play that while the game is going. Add a little more interest and polish to the game. Definitely need that. And then you start getting a little closer to the technology. You need to know what you're going to be doing with that. Is it single player? Is it local? Is it going to need some network connectivity? Pretty much at this point, the answers really do rely on what kind of libraries you're looking at. Of course, if you really do want to be ultra specific and just say, hey, I'm going to write this myself, it's of course up to you. But in many cases, you'll be well served to use an 80% solution that you could already find and just tweak that to fit what you'll need. So that's really the essentials. Think about before you even begin to bring the assets together, start with what's called a game design document. And this doesn't have to be a long, you know, book of any significant detail. It's just enough that, first of all, you can establish for yourself what you think you're going to be creating, what you're trying to do, what the theme is of the game, what sets it apart, what are the features, what are the game mechanics. If it's a role-playing game, how does the world work? How does progression work? And then you can flesh out a bit more, some initial graphics. What do you think it's going to look like? What's the, if you're so bold as to create an overall look and feel for the graphics, what kind of theme are you going with? And begin to get that into a document. And at that point, it's really up to you how you want to proceed. A lot of folks are worried about sharing their art with others. Share it with some trusted advisors and just say, what do you think about this? You know, you may not want to post your idea to the world and, you know, have that, you know, basically any unique ideas taken and run with before you're able to finish your game. But you do want to get it so that you can socialize it with some folks that you trust.
Well, let's say that my goal here is to learn how to create a game rather than to make the next killer game. And we go with your Pong breakout variant.
Yeah.
So the first thing I need, you said, was graphics for the paddle and for the bricks, and I'm artistically challenged. So do I go find somebody who knows how to draw that, or are there places where I can purchase them, or what do I do?
Right, it's a great point. It's actually multiple phases depending on how much upfront design you're doing. There's a concept called programmer art, which is It's the kind of art that I'm capable of creating. It's the it's nothing pretty. It kind of gets the job done. It's placeholders for what you might really want to see in the game. So drawing a stick figure for the champion instead of something that's really actually the finished look and feel that you're aiming for. So it could be as simple as that. Just start by, you know, just drawing up something and saying, this is a placeholder so I can begin to visualize what the game will do. And then I can wire up the mechanics and get things running. And then, to answer your question, work with somebody else or find online repositories or purchase kits or assets that are online that I could use in the game. And that's entirely up to you as well. Do you already know an artist? Do you want to bring them in on the project and have them create those pictures? We haven't talked about sprites yet, but maybe in a moment. But the things you're going to need, the graphics that you'll need, the tile set for creating your board, for creating the various things that you'll see in the background. A title screen, a splash screen, the tile that you'd want to show up in the store or when someone installs it to the desktop, to their start screen. Those are all things that you'll need some kind of graphics for. And in a lot of cases, folks just start sketching out something to get going. But if you are aiming for a more polished creation, you want to start that as soon as you can with somebody or identifying a library that you could use, that you'll be able to purchase the rights to use in your game. Or maybe find some free assets too that you could use, but you got to do your homework on all of that. Those are all options for you.
So let me switch gears on you and ask you this. If I'm a potential game programmer and I'm looking at platforms and I think, well, I could build this for iOS or I could build this for Windows 8. I could build this for Windows Phone. How am I making that decision? And I know that your focus is on Windows 8 in gaming. So what attracts me to Windows 8 for my game as opposed to any of the other platforms?
Well, I can answer multiple ways here. I think one thing is I could certainly not answer this for everybody else. You have to kind of look at where your interests are, where your plans are for deploying a game, where you want to reach. We can go over the features that really do for a game on Windows 8. But another thing to consider is that there are technologies to help you create games that are cross-platform or that can be, I guess, generated for multiple platforms from that same core creation. So, you know, for example, like the Unity environment you could use to create your core game and then export that to various platforms. So you're essentially reusing that investment that you've made in creating the game and leveraging that in multiple application markets. And that extends out to a number of the environments that I've already mentioned. You know, the ones that I mentioned certainly have support for Windows 8 and beyond. And so, you know, the Game Salads of the world, the Game Makers, Construct 2, these are all nice environments that will help you to, and I don't know all the licensing and the costs associated with them, but they will allow you to create a game and then target that toward whatever of the environments that they support that you're interested in providing a game for. But to answer the other side of the question that you had there, what makes Windows 8, you know, well suited for your games too. Let's park it aside for a moment. Let's just talk about the features of Windows that really can work well. Obviously live tiles is a really nice differentiating feature. You can have your game updating the user with what's going on in the gaming world. Show them how far they've progressed toward completing a mission or how many achievements they've unlocked and things like that, all within that tile that's on their start screen. And you can update that right from the game. You can update even from a remote service if the game's not even running. You could say, hey, by the way, today's game challenge is this. You know, do you dare play this? Click to join in and try it out. These are all really effective ways to add to the stickiness of your game, really get people back into your game and playing it. Related to it, but not the same thing, is something called notifications. So the tile, the toast notifications that you can use, these are really great in when properly applied for games. Similarly, you can push these from an external source, even if the game is not running. So we've seen where this could be really useful to notify a user or a player of something happening in the game world or in the, you know, the leaderboards, or something's happening to their characters or whatever, even if they're actually trying to be productive and working, you know, on some other, they're writing code or something. And said, I couldn't help but notice you're writing code, but your base is under attack. And they click on that toast notification, they can go right into the game and play. This could be a really nice way to round out and complete that experience for the users. And then there's the standard features of Windows 8, like snapping, being able to support that in your game. It's worth pointing out, if you're concerned about that for your games, and how it would work with your game. Some games, they will work just fine if you put it into a snapped state. You know, those 320 pixels can be enough for, say, a puzzle type game. You just make the puzzle board smaller and continue to play it. That's fine. We see a number of games doing that. On the other hand, if you have a full screen experience and it's a kind of a more comprehensive, or it's a complex environment, you can't easily scale it down or it would become unplayable. Just put a pause screen into your game. The application's view state changes into a snap view. You can pause the game loop. You could put up a screen that just says, we paused the game for you. We'll resume when you go back to full screen. And then, of course, you're talking about the story, talking about the, you know, the standard things that I know folks may be familiar with Windows 8 and Windows Store app development, being able to get your applications out there with a free version, with trials, with content being able to be purchased in the game, so free to play, with maybe adding on levels as they choose to purchase new adventures, to time-limited versus content-limited trials within that trial option there too. We do recommend, based on a lot of things we're seeing on the phone side, that you seriously consider having a trial of your game if you are if you are charging for the game. Of course, you can go free and throw ads into your game. And that's a perfectly fine option too. But if you are going to if you are going to charge for your game, you seriously should consider having a trial version, whether it's good for a few days or lets people try a couple levels before saying, now at this point, now you need to purchase the game. That really has helped conversion to purchased applications on the phone side.
And the opportunity in the Windows 8 marketplace, are you getting a sense at this point of how games are being received in the store?
Yeah, actually, I don't have the data handy, but it's clearly one of the top categories, not just for who's downloading what, but who's paying for what. And so at the end of the day, or if you're interested in making a game, one of the other things you're probably interested in is making money. And it's clearly one of the categories where people are willing to actually spend money to buy a product, to buy an application. So I don't have the figures handy. I would recommend, looking around the various, maybe the Windows Store blog, things like that has more information on it. I can't quite recall where they would be, but certainly it's something to take heart in, noticing that games are a popular way to bring in some money from actually developing apps. One more thing I should mention too, you might notice if you're in Windows 8 and working with some of the games there, playing with some of the games there, that a number of them have Xbox Live integration. It's something that you can establish a relationship with Microsoft Studios. It's not something you can do just out of the box and start using achievements or multiplayer matchmaking or leaderboards, things like that. But it is an option for games that have connected with Microsoft Studios and established a relationship. That's all documented too. If you go to the Xbox developer portal, you'll see a section there where they say, here's the email, just send us a note and we can begin a conversation around where your game is, where it's going, and how it could leverage the features that are offered through Xbox Live. And you'll see a number of games, not just Microsoft games, that have Xbox Live integration. So that's another great thing that you can do on the Windows 8 platform with your games.
So if someone is listening to this and they're fired up now, they're excited, they want to get started, I know you've advised them to go to local user groups. Are there places online to go to read about how to get started? Is there a set of documentation or a central point on the internet to go to get started?
I would actually recommend, it's something we talked about, I think last time I was chatting with you, there's a program called Generation App, so generationapp.com. I've got the links for that on my blog, and I'll give those to you for the notes on the show. But if you go there, at the top of the page, there's an option to choose what kind of technology track you want to sign up for. And one of them is gaming, so Windows 8 game development. And I really do like this program because it's going to give you information over the course of 30 days on how to create a game and talking about things that, especially if you're new to game creation, that you may not have thought about. How do you handle input? How do you handle touch versus keyboard or mouse? Do you want to use the accelerometer, location-based services? How do you think about monetizing your game? What are some things to think about, whether you go advertising-based or purchased app or purchases with different models? Thinking through those things as you're in the process of creating your game. It's a really good program, and it will help you to kind of walk through that process. And at the end of 30 days, you get a lot of good guidance on that.